Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28. The last church that I was at was a smaller church, and they really didn't pay me anything. And I was okay with that. I had a sense of purpose. I was doing what God wanted. But the sense of purpose doesn't pay the bills, and so I got a job in town at Walmart, working in a warehouse. Walmart is a gigantic company, 2.2 million associates worldwide, and they have a very strong sense for what they're doing. They have a purpose statement, as do all great organizations. It was posted everywhere. You know, you've seen it, save money, live better. Saving people money so they can live better lives. And it was posted everywhere. Drinking fountain, save money, live better. Break room, save money, live better. Restrooms, save money, everywhere you went, it was all over the building. And every meeting they talk about it. We got to keep our costs down to help people live better. And that is their purpose statement. And in many ways, they did that. And they're a huge company. Every organization, though, has to have a charter or some kind of a mission statement. And they have to have a way of judging their success. They have to have a statement, and they have to say, this is what we are, and if we do these things, we're successful. And if something new comes up, they can look at it and say, does this help us achieve our goal in a better way? Or does this distract us from our goal? And they measure it, and they say either it's good and they embrace it, or it's distracting and they throw it out. But there's always that statement in every great organization by which the organization is measured. You know, in the Christian life, there's a statement, there's a purpose statement for what the church is supposed to be. Did you know this? We have our own charter statement that we have to live by. The way that we measure our lives individually, the way we measure our group corporately, we have a statement that we measure. Everything we do, if it's the school, it doesn't matter. If it's Wednesday night, if it's the services, whatever we do, we measure this against this statement to see just how successful we are. Or maybe we're not successful, but we have a way of measuring it and knowing. And that is found in Matthew 28. Now, we look at the Gospels, and they tell the story of Christ. Who is Christ? Well, Christ is the Son of God, born of a virgin, sinless. He lived this life on earth. He taught about what God thought. He performed miracles. He trained his disciples. And in his day, he was rejected for his message ultimately. And one day, he would go to the cross and die. Not for his sins, because he had committed none. But being the Son of God, he's able to die for the sins of the entire earth. So that anyone by faith could put their trust in him and look to him and be saved. And he would forgive them of their sins if they were to ask, putting their faith completely in him. And after his death, because he's God, he overcame death. He rose from the grave. And he met one last time with his disciples and he sat them down and he said, this is going to be what you're supposed to do after I'm gone. You're going to form the church and you're going to do this. And here's the statement. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. See this? I have all this authority and I'm handing it to you. Here it is. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to understand these words. Help us to live by them. Lord, I pray that when you come back, you would find us faithful to keeping this command. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This purpose statement has two main commands. The first command is to go. Where are we supposed to go? We're supposed to go to everywhere, to all nations. Now, obviously we can't go, all of us, because who would evangelize Downers Grove? So we send some of us physically here, some physically are sent over there, but we are to go and try to have broad influence over the world to teach them. This is intentional. You know, going to share Christ, this isn't something that just happens out of pure chance. No, this is, we have to make the effort and make the decision. I will go. Wherever God puts you, you need to be making disciples. You know, maybe it's someone at your work. You sit a couple cubicles away and you see them and you think, that man or that woman, they need this message so badly. Or maybe it's someone even in your own neighborhood or across the street from you. You see them every day. You think, if someone would just sit down with that person, they could change this person's life forever. God did send somebody, though. He sent us, didn't He? We're the ones that have to go. This is a command. It's not an option. Maybe God is calling one of you young people. Maybe God wants you to go back to Arizona. You ever think about that? Maybe someday you would be replaced as stringers. They're getting older. Maybe some of you would be the next person. Has God called you there? Do you know where God's calling you? Have you asked Him? We assume, don't we? We look at what's comfortable and we assume, oh, this must be where I'm called. This is what I enjoy the most. We assume. I would say ask the Lord, and God will put you where you need to be in life. If you listen to Him, I guarantee you, you will have joy in that place. This God will put you where you belong. Stan Stringer talked about he worked in one Indian reservation, loved it, and God moved to another one. And it was difficult at first, but you know what? I see him with the natives there, and I see him at Three Points at the church, and the guy fits. I mean, the people can relate to him. That is where he belongs. That's where God has called him. If we're to fulfill the charter mission of the church, number one, we must be willing to go. But this is the prerequisite to the second command, which is the center of it. We're to go, and we're to make disciples. Discipleship. So first, the first part of this discipleship involves salvation. Salvation is a point in time where someone recognizes their need for Christ, recognizes their need for forgiveness, and they put their full faith and trust in Christ. And this is salvation. After salvation comes sanctification. This is the process where we become Christ-like. Now, discipleship making requires two parts. The person that's learning, the disciple, and the discipler, the person that's teaching. Both of them must be faithful. Both of them must be patient. We want people to change like this. Don't we? Well, I showed them the verse. Or how many times could you say, you know, the pastor preached on that last week. I don't know what the problem is this week. You know, unfortunately, it takes us time, doesn't it? It's a process. It takes time. It takes work. But if we are faithful to the Great Commission, we must be patient. So, there's two main commands. We are to go. Secondly, we are to make disciples. And there's two means it gives us. How do you make these disciples? First of all, by baptizing them. Baptism is a church ordinance. It's a reminder. It doesn't give you salvation. It doesn't give you a special type of grace. Salvation confirms what's happened already in your heart. And it shows the picture of having passed from death, being dead in your sins, to being alive and raised in Christ. So that's the first means you disciple, through baptism. The second means is through teaching. It says, teaching them to observe all things Christ has commanded. We teach them about salvation. First of all, Christ said you must be born again. The person has to come to a point of accepting Christ. And secondly, you teach them regarding sanctification, the process of becoming Christ-like, the process of growing in our faith. Sanctification, though, I mean, there's many factors that are involved in sanctification, changing someone to help them be Christ-like. It revolves loving people, being patient, loving them, caring for them, putting up with things that you don't agree with. And this is how people are changed, you know. Somebody asked me the other day, I have talked to this person so many times, and I don't get what's wrong with them. What can I do? Well, I think you have to keep loving them. I don't think that there's ever an expiration on loving someone and what God can do. I think we are just so quick to give up on people. Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the easy thing to do when someone doesn't fit into your category of what they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do? You know, I've talked to them. I prayed with them. I showed them the Scripture. You know, the light bulbs have got to come on. Let me tell you, people aren't microwaves, are they? We have to keep loving people. It goes on and on. Keep loving for them. Keep praying for them. Keep encouraging them. You just don't know what the Lord has in store for someone. You know, you love and love and love and love and pray for someone, and then one day the light bulb comes on. You're like, yes, this works. This process is what God said it was. But this would never happen if we gave up, would it? God works through our patience. People need to be patiently loved. People need the Word of God, to give them clear direction. Okay, how to be sanctified? How can I be Christ-like? Christ-like is what Scripture says it is, and we try to help people flesh it out in their lives. People need prayer. The Lord uses prayer and the Spirit to change people's hearts and lives. You never give up on praying for someone. I don't care who it is or what they've done. Never, 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 never stop praying for that person. Let me tell you, you don't know what the Lord is doing. We just see the surface, don't we? We see the surface of what happens, and we get discouraged. No, don't get discouraged. You don't know. Someday you'll get to heaven and you'll realize all that prayer was paying off. But on earth, you know, you didn't see tangible, and so it's easy to be discouraged. The Spirit has to change people from within, okay? I'm not the Holy Spirit. That's why I can't beat up people. I can encourage them. I can share a vision. I can share Scripture with them. But the Holy Spirit has to work from inside, okay? This is what keeps them changed. I can put pressure on people. I can intimidate people. I can give them the guilt trip, make them feel bad. And this will temporarily result in them doing what I want, perhaps. But the Spirit has to work in people so that they're truly changed and it's truly from their own heart and God is doing a work. This is not new information, I tell you. But we should be about making disciples. That's the purpose of our church. If we do not make disciples as a church, if we don't make disciples in our own personal lives, we are failing. And I hope that you see the urgency of this. You know, you look at this task, making disciples, changing the world, and you think, wow, this is bigger than me. I could never do this. You think about the enormity of it, and you think about how giant the planet is. We have, what, roughly 7 billion, 6 or 7 billion people right now. You think, wow, can I really change all these people? What will people think of me in the process? And it's very discouraging. So what does Christ say to his disciples last to reassure them? He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will be with you, end of the world. I will come back eventually, but I will be with you unto the end." We have Christ's promise of his presence and his enabling so that we can do this task that he has given us. Question for you. As a church, as individuals, how are you doing? Are we measuring up to Christ's charter statement? Let's stand together and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use this church in a mighty way in this community, Lord. Work in our hearts. Help us to have the same heart for others that Christ did. Help us to love others. Help us to share Christ with them and disciple them. Help us not to be lazy, Lord, but help us as a church to go and to spread your word. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.